He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Well, here we are in beautiful Carlsbad, California. What do you think about that?
Oh, it's lovely. Carlsbad, Oceanside, Vista. It's all like a tri-city, I believe. Am I right?
Yeah, and it's the home of some great California-style living. The homes here are beautiful, and the environment is incredible. We're just like a few miles from the ocean, and we've got a backyard with a beautiful view here and a landscape that is something to die for. So really enjoying California. What a beautiful state.
Well, we've been here how long now? 2 months?
A couple of months. Hard to leave.
It certainly is hard to leave those palm trees and the surf, I tell you.
What an ideal environment for training and for health, the warm weather, the sun, the ocean. I'll tell you, it's the way to go.
It sure is the way to go. I'm in.
Me too. So what's cooking?
Well, what's cooking? As you know, we're on our RV tour, and my cooking's getting simpler and simpler by the day. So what I've got, and we've been, once I decide I'm going to make something, we eat it and eat it and eat it for like 2 weeks in a row. I've got a Go Green salad. Yes, Go Green salad, and it certainly is green.
No doubt, and what a delicious salad it is. So I can't wait for you to tell us your secret formula.
I can't wait to make it again. Well, what I do is I buy a bag of organic baby spinach, a bag of organic arugula, and a bag of wakame seaweed. Now, what that wakame is, W-A-K-A-M-E. Now, you could probably use any seaweed that you want, but I use the wakame or wakame, however you want to say it. Now, the dressing that I use is an EFA, essential fatty acid antioxidant oil blend. It's kind of like got hemp oil, flaxseed oil. I also use Modena balsamic vinegar, which is one of the top balsamic vinegars, and Mrs. Dash. Never leave home without the original blend, no salt added Mrs. Dash. Only three ingredients for the dressing. And then I just mix them all together, and it's absolutely delicious. I usually put a couple of handfuls of baby spinach. Well, for us, let's say half a bag, because we eat so much, and then a half a bag of arugula and quite a few handfuls of the wakame. And the wakame is like crunchy, so it's really, really good. And this salad is alkalizing. It's definitely green. It's great for the thyroid and loaded with antioxidants, vitamins, and it's mineral rich. And after you eat the Go Green salad, you will feel energized and satisfied. Now, if you haven't heard of what arugula is, it's been quite popular in Italy and France and Britain for quite a long time. And maybe you know it by other names such as rugola, rucola, roquette, Mediterranean rocket, something, you know, different names like that. But arugula is a spicy little leaf which sometimes is bitter and is characterized as having a peppery, mustardy flavor. It's potent on its own, so you often mix it with a milder green. And also, you can just saute arugula in olive oil, which is also really good. So that's our new salad that we're having. Now, the wakame, because of its kelp content, it's rich in protein, calcium, iodine, magnesium, iron, and folate, and it's also been known to lower rates of breast cancer in Japanese women. Isn't that kind of cool? And it's got lignans in it, which help fight cancer, and it is just absolutely wonderful for the skin, great for the thyroid. It helps with skin problems, pimples. It's all around, and it's delicious, too. It's got that salty flavor. That's why I say don't add salt to get the Mrs. Dash that is salt-free. So don't add any salt to the salad. And we've been eating it and eating it and eating it, haven't we?
Yeah. You know, what I like about the spinach and the arugula is that it's a bitter. And at the Clayton College conference that we just came back from in Atlanta, Georgia, Dr. Elson Hawes gave a whole presentation on the importance of bitters and to stimulate the liver and how important that was to compensate for sweet and salty and sour. We sort of went through a neat presentation on why why different foods are essential based on how they stimulate enzymes in the gut and why people in North America are lacking bitters and why something like this would be just a fantastic addition to an evening meal. And I just love it because it's so satisfying, and that with a protein, I'm just completely satisfied.
Yeah, we use the tuna tataki with it, but balsamic vinegar is and the EFA oil is really a nice combination. I think everybody who's had a balsamic vinaigrette really likes it, right, on any kind of salad. So this is just a yummy, yummy salad. Now, Corey, just out of curiosity, do you remember the different tastes? Remember we went through them one night?
Yeah, well, we came up with a list, I think, of about seven. There was a sweet and sour and salty and bitter and astringent.
Right.
And what were the other ones?
Oh, gosh.
The other couple.
Did we say sour?
I think we said, we said sour. Pungent.
Pungent.
Pungent
right.
was the other one, you know, and each one has a whole set of cells on the tongue that's associated with the sensory potential to feel that sensation, and then it's connected through the nervous system and the endocrine system to glands and organs and digestive organs, which then prepare the body when you're chewing this kind of food with these various tastes to properly digest. So that's why, again, it's important to fletcherize or to chew and masticate thoroughly to feel that sensation of taste. Oh, the other one was spicy.
Oh, yeah.
Spicy. So you got all these different tastes of food, and they trigger responses biologically inside, and the body's designed to utilize a whole variety of them for balance with nutrition in mind. So when you talk about a balanced diet, it's got to have some spicy, some salty, some sweet, some pungent, and a lot of people lack the bitters and the pungent, especially in North America where the food is very bland often and highly refined and processed.
Right, exactly. So you get into the arugula, man, and you got that bitter, and it's delicious. Absolutely.
Right on, right on. Well, that's great. So, yeah, everybody, try that one now. It's just simple and
just
easy.
Just with a piece of protein, just that big, huge, big salad with a piece of protein, and you're going to feel so great. It's clean burning, and you're going to feel alive.
Yeah, and remember when you ask Corey what he's having for dinner? Protein and salad, protein and salad, protein and salad.
So if we come to your house for dinner, what are we going to have? Protein and salad.
No excuses, people. Okay, so let's get into our next topic. Who was our last month's special guest?
Well, our last month's special guest was Dr. Ron Schmid, the author of Traditional Foods Are Your Best Medicine and the Untold Story of Milk. Well, now, the book, Traditional Foods Are Your Best Medicine, was in the original CSNA 101 and 201. And it's one of the best books I've ever read. Now, Dr. Ron, is what he likes to be called, doesn't beat around the bush regarding his research or his opinion. He's very soft-spoken, but he's very matter-of-factly. Don't you agree?
Pulls no punches, calls a spade, which I really like. You know, when I talked to him about what he thought about vegans and vegetarians, he pulled no punches whatsoever. You know, like he really believes that these people are brainwashed and programmed to think that what they are doing is right, but he completely disagrees. And I think that when you read his book, the Traditional Foods Are Your Best Medicine, you'll see why. You know, a lot of his data is based on the Weston Price Foundation, and there's a whole website and lots of data. And I happen to be reading, I just finished the Paleo Diet for Athletes, and again, it reminds us that the original diet had no dairy, had no grains, hunted wild game was predominant, up to 50% of the food supply was tissue protein combined with vegetables and fruit. And it seems like the dairy, especially the refined commercial forms today, are the ones that cause a lot of problems, as well as the wheat and the different grains. So it makes a lot of sense, and, you know, everybody out there, you've got to read both these books. The Untold Story of Milk will really help you understand the pathway and history of how milk came to be today, from originally a great food to a highly refined processed substance that's not fit to eat today.
Exactly. And unless you live on a farm and raise your own cows, it's a bit difficult to have raw dairy products. They do sell them in California. I don't know where else they sell them. Probably where Dr. Ron lives, which is in Connecticut. Is that right?
Yeah, there's only like 3 to 5 states, but almost all of America has facilitated through lobbying and pressure from the dairy industry to outlaw raw milk, which is such a shame because it's really the only way to consume it. All the yogurts and all of the dairy byproducts have always historically been consumed raw with the very best of outcome. And now today we've got a monopoly that's driven the farmer off the land. And, you know, if you get into reading The Untold Story of Milk, you can really see it's not a conspiracy, but it's just a corporate takeover. It's tied in with, you know, the beef industry and the food industry at a corporate level, where the objective is not health for the consumer, it's profit for the corporation at the expense of the consumer. So we're, again, reminding us that we really have to be careful when it comes to what we eat and where we buy our food. And it's just such a shame that we don't have access to high-quality, fresh, raw food. As a matter of fact, we got into a discussion with a personal trainer here at one of the gyms, and she was saying the problem in America is that the food is too cheap and too much of the wrong food is available. So it's really, really easy for people to fatten up and get sick because there's too much of the wrong food around.
Absolutely. So if you are going to eat dairy products, use them sparingly and go for the full-fat dairy products. Use the butter, use the cream, do the full-fat yogurt, but use it sparingly. Don't use margarine or no-fat, low-fat, right?
Yeah, otherwise you're going to bring in a food that doesn't have the lipid-soluble nutrients, the vitamin A, the D, the E, the K, the carotenoids, anything that's soluble in the fat. So if you pull away that fat, then you're left with a food that's processed and lacking essential nutrients, which are necessary in the processing of that food. So we end up with deficiencies and risk of health problems. And the other thing about the new milk today, it is acid-forming, which Colgan talks about in Nutrition for Champions. And the old original milk, the raw milk, is actually alkaline-forming. So, you know, it's like a tin of tuna, which is acid, and the fresh raw tuna, which is alkaline, same kind of a deal. Pasteurizing milk does not protect us from infection. In fact, it actually causes anemia and erodes the immune system. And please don't feed it to children. Get them off the milk, onto the water, the herbal teas, and the freshly squeezed juices.
Right. So thank you, Dr. Ron.
Absolutely. Great interview. Really look forward to that. So now our favorite portion of He Said, She Said. This is our Highway to Health Tour update. So what's on your mind, Tracy?
Oh, boy, you know, I just can't remember where we've been. And one of because we just are just traveling around so much. And one of the beauties of it is we do take a lot of pictures, and then we send them to your mom, and she's making a really nice photo album for us. She does this scrapbooking, so I'm going to be really excited to see this when it's all completed. Well, what we did was a few weeks ago was we parked the RV at LAX, which is the Los Angeles airport, and we headed to Lake Lanier Islands in Georgia. Yes, Georgia, for the Clayton College Conference for a week. And I truly know what they mean by Southern hospitality. Everyone was so gracious, and they couldn't have been nicer. It's just, I've never been around anything like it.
It's almost, you know, an air of caution when you see people that extend such warmth and hospitality and interest in you, and they look you in the eyes, and you sit down at a restaurant, and just the service was amazing there. And what a beautiful facility the conference situated at, the Lake Lanier Islands up in northern, well, not too far north, but I guess it's about an hour's drive north of Atlanta. And just a very peaceful environment that I really enjoyed, going for walks. We went to the spa, and just the overall atmosphere was one that was refreshing and delightful.
Well, one of the things that I liked is there was about 250 attendees for the full week. That's quite a few people. And they served complimentary, was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was like being on a cruise ship. and the food was phenomenal. So I really enjoyed that because I didn't have to cook. But Corey presented, you presented about five lectures, along with Elson Hawes, Julian Whitaker, Stuart Mitchell, Sally Fallon. They were among some of the top-notch speakers to present there.
Well, yeah, and since the conference, I have proposed to Clayton that we combine our CHI conference with theirs. So people out there, look forward to that. I wouldn't hesitate to recommend anyone to come to this conference. It's very well run. It's very professional. The speakers, the people that you'll meet, the energy, the motivation and atmosphere is just ideal for regenerating the mind. You leave the place wanting to do more, to learn more, and you learn so much from the people and the attendees as well, not just the professional speakers.
Absolutely. So we really enjoyed ourselves, and everybody was so friendly. And one of the things is, after you lectured, Corey, and we got to know everybody, people were coming around that we hadn't even met and giving us their business cards and saying, when you come to Texas, when you come to Philadelphia, when you go here, when you go there, you can come and stay with us. I was just blown away because of the hospitality of everybody. It was just wonderful.
Absolutely, and I'm really looking forward to connecting with these people.
Oh,
they'll help set up seminars in advance, you know, and our RV tour is just going so well, and connecting with so many people, looking for those gems, those special people out there that love education and love to learn, and we'll get on the CHI bandwagon, enroll in the courses, and, you know, this is just a marvelous grassroots concept that we're doing, and it's just fantastic.
It sure is. Well, after that, right after that, we picked up Ruby at the airport, and she flew down and met us for a week, and we spent most of our time at Venice Beach, which was perfect for her being a young person, and the weather was about 85, 90 for that week, and there were thousands of weird and wonderful people strolling on the boardwalk of Venice Beach, and Ruby got to get her picture taken with you, Corey, at Muscle Beach. And I got to cook for her every night and play mom again, so that was kind of cool.
Wonderful to see Ruby, and we had some great times body surfing at both Venice Beach and Huntington Beach. You know, the waves were perfect. They would come in beautiful sets, and they're only like 2 or 3 feet high. The water was kind of cold, but it was hot out, so you could bear the cold water as long as you were in the sun. And, of course, you get cold and spend some time in the water, and then you come back on the beach and lay in that sun, and I got a bit of a nice tan, and I really liked that complexion and that look. But yeah, we just had a lot of fun rolling about in the waves, and I caught some great waves. And I'll tell you, when I'm in that wave going down that tube and leaning inside of it, I just feel like a young kid. I feel timeless. It's so much fun. It just reminds me that how important sport and activity is, to have fun in that process, because that's what keeps you young and alive and ageless.
That's right. And Ruby got a sunburn. She had to get some sun while she was there. She got a little bit of a sunburn, but it was all worth it for her. So I really, really miss her, but she did not want to come on this trip. But her logic is, she says, well, she goes, I only miss you two. There's only two of you to miss. But if I was to come and stay with you guys, I'd miss more people. So she says, it's better that I just miss the two of you.
Sounds like a mathematician.
Sounds like a 16-year-old, if you ask me.
Well, of course, as parents, we're going to miss our daughter more than our daughter misses
the
parents. So we understand that. And, you know, it's just wonderful to connect with her, and that feeling is so strong and so powerful, that of warmth and love, and there's a nourishment for her and for us. So we look forward to meeting more family along the way and having them come down and seeing how beautiful America is.
Oh, yes, it's a lovely country. Well, then we had a little blast from the past. We met up with one of my ex-dance partners from 1983, and he gave me a DVD of a show that we did in Hollywood. And it was a fond memory, and it was great for Corey to connect with my past and to watch me do my little dance routine on DVD. That was kind of fun, don't you think?
Well, this guy is 75,
yeah.
And you can see what dancing does lifelong to a person. It keeps them young and a great spirit, and he's very interested in health. And, of course, from a functional point of view, he's got to stay well in order to be a dance teacher. But the people that he's met and the experiences that he's had in so many years of dancing, you know, it's a very positive thing. So a very interesting guy also with some very interesting beliefs. And it's always wonderful to sit down with a new person and in a charitable way with tolerance and interest and the desire to learn new things and just open up and have a discussion about the different things without any sense of ridicule or judgment or criticism. And it's just a great way to incorporate new ideas and information from different people.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was great fun. So now we're connecting. It's kind of, it's nice to connect. And like he said, like we said, he is 75 years old, so I'm glad that we did connect with him, because I shouldn't say that, but, you know, who knows how long? When will I ever connect with him again, right?
That's right. In the now, that's the key, is to connect with people, tell them exactly what you need to tell them, if you love them or if you've got anything in your mind. Make sure that you've got closure with everyone in your life, because, you know, if they pass away before you do that, it's too late. So it's good to clean out the attic and unload and make sure that everything is kosher and cool between you and your friends of the past and the present, and it makes a better future.
Well, aren't you just special? And right now we are sitting in Oceanside, California, visiting with our friend and students of the CSNA program, Fred and Jerry Deutsch. So they have a beautiful home, and it's just wonderful. Their hospitality, again, they've been so gracious to us, and we've had some really nice times. And they have a beautiful big outdoor backyard that we went on a major hike over the mountain, right?
Yeah, and it's great to be around active people and progressive thinkers. And, you know, Fred is just incredible. You know, it's hard to find a guy like that who's retired but is more active than most people that aren't. You know, he's an airline commercial pilot, and now he's taken up a new project in woodwork. And, you know, I think the key that I'm learning from Fred is that you've got to use your mind as you move through in life. And when you change from something into something else, it's good for the soul, it's good for the heart, it's stimulating. And so think about what you're going to do in the future, as well as putting energy into the now. Make sure that the whole thing is about you and that you're enjoying it and you're doing it to improve and evolve and have a good time and have fun.
Absolutely. I hear you.
Yeah.
And that's our update.
Yeah, and looking forward now, we are in Carlsbad. We're moving south to San Diego, and we'll spend some time there. And, you know, I've connected with Clayton College, working on a new sport line with them, so look forward to more information on that if you're an American, and also working on a new sport line as it's developing in Canada for Canadians. So that's kind of exciting. And then we'll move to Arizona, meeting my mom and my sister, doing that Grand Canyon thing. We're going to go to Flagstaff and Phoenix and Tucson and check out beautiful Arizona. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Wow, sounds like fun. Can I go?
Absolutely, if you're good. Only if you're good.
Oh, if I'm good. Okay,
yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. So getting on to the next topic before we call it a day is, what you reading, Trace?
What am I reading? Well, I'm still reading the Norman Vincent Peale book, but I'm on page 500 of the 600 pages. But this book was just way too big to take to Georgia on the flight, so I picked up a book at the airport, and it's called For One More Day, and the author is Mitch Albom. Now, For One More Day is a story of a mother and a son and their relationship that lasts a lifetime and beyond, and explores the question, what would you do if you could spend one more day with a lost loved one? Now, Mitch Albom, the author, also wrote Tuesdays with Maury and The Five People That You Meet in Heaven. Now, Tuesdays with Maury, I read the book, I saw the play, and I saw the movie. Now, if you haven't experienced Tuesdays with Maury, you really should, because it's about not carrying any resentment in life. And at the end of the day, you have no resentment. It was quite thrilling. So they're all really quick reads. They're wonderful books. He's a great author. I love the way he writes. And that's it. What are you reading?
What am I reading?
What are you not reading? You've always got five books on the go.
No kidding. This one was sent to me, and I like those ones because they always get a precedent when somebody sends me a book that they feel I must read. This is called Killing Sacred Cows. It's a business book on financial strategies and management. The author is Garrett Gunderson. But, you know, we've made a contact with a couple of guys from Utah, and we're working on this really neat restaurant project. They want to certify everyone that works in the restaurant. It's a whole food, sort of athletic-focused, fast, slow food. In other words, everything whole, fresh, and real, and protein shakes. Really neat. But they want everyone to be certified through the CSNA program, and they want us to certify the menu and work with the chef. And I'm so excited about this. It's just incredible. But, you know, looking through this book, you know, what it's doing and saying is that there are certain things that we think about money, and they're just not true. They're based on myths and concepts that have been handed down from the Depression, a lot of them. And one of the areas that I'm just reading about now is on the concept of scarcity and scarcity thinking. And to quote, it says, scarcity thinking says, I can't afford it, or I just don't have any options, or I never have enough time to spend with my family. Abundant thinking says, how can I afford this, or I know I have unlimited options, I just have to find them, or how can I create more time to spend with my family? Scarcity is limited to what you can see with imperfect eyes. Where abundance is limitless, and through it we can see with our minds more deeply than our eyes would have us believe. So this book is filled with great quotes and great concepts that relate to changing your mindset about money, about its position in your life, and how you can learn to manage it more effectively in your personal life and in your business. So it's a good read, and I'd recommend it. Killing Sacred Cows.
How can I get that Rolex on my wrist?
Start thinking, then it gets clear, and you don't need to figure out the why or the how. Just be clear about what you want.
Yeah, right. Well, that's it. That's what we're reading. Okay.
Good stuff, dear. That was an excellent he said, she said. And to finish it off, what is your final word?
My final word is by Catherine Butler Hathaway. A person needs, at intervals, to separate from family and companions and go to new places. One must go without familiars in order to open to influences to change.